all of the things that go on in this building during the week. But every Monday night, Cora represents a group called Al-Anon, which is a group that is supportive of a certain community. So Cora, tell us, were you on?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Yes, you are. Right, so Cora, tell us the group that you represent and basically who comes along, please.
I represent the Al-Anon group. Everybody knows about AA, but very few people know about Al-Anon, which is actually a group to help families and friends of alcoholics. Living with alcoholism, lives becomes unmanageable and not good. Our focus goes on to the alcoholic, and whole families are absolutely destroyed with it. One in four children, I believe, are affected by alcoholism, which is a frightening figure, and lives are unmanageable. But here in Al-Anon, on a Monday night, our meetings are 7:30 to 8:30, and then we have use of this great facility, and we have our cup of tea and a chat, which is wonderful. And Al-Anon, it's a spiritual program. We learn to take responsibility for ourselves, take the focus off the alcoholic, which is normally what we do, trying to solve all the problems.
How many come along?
Well, we can have up to 20, down to 2, but on average about 10 people.
Right.
So we
and
just
people range in age from what? What would be the youngest person you have coming along?
Well, there's also a separate group for Alateen for the younger generation.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. So we're more mature, ranging down to about 25 or that,
mm-hmm.
up to, I'm not sure who is the oldest. I think I might be one of them.
Righto. Yes. So we've got the idea. It's a group for support for those who have an alcoholic person in their family. Cora's put up some stuff here about that, and also it's sort of one of those things that people get embarrassed about. So I'm just delighted that we can have a facility that can support and help in some way. If you know someone or you think you can help someone, please take one of these and read it. I'm always amazed how alcohol has crept into churches. I know it's a beef that I have, but I'm amazed when I see domestic violence, when I see road accidents, when I see hospitalisation, when I see the money that should be feeding kids going to alcohol, I'm just sad that we don't stand up and yell about some of that. We have the freezer out there that Rose and helpers fill up on a Sunday afternoon, but then sometimes on a Monday night,
yes, it
goes, because many of the people who come to Al-Anon are very happy to have a little bit of extra food to support them. So that's another way, I guess, that we could say that the church here is ministering to needs with a mission. This is in a big picture, friends, that we're part of the church that is supporting this group. So tell me, Cora, any other way in which the church can help?
Well,
you don't really need money?
Well, we're a fully self-supporting group.
Righto.
So fortunately, because our rent is so wonderful here, we're lucky to be able to afford it.
Right. So just tell us briefly, what format does the program take? When people come at 7:30 from all backgrounds of whatever's happened at home, what happens when they all arrive?
Well, we start off with a welcoming, and every week there's a different person who chair, and we choose a different topic. We've got our own literature, Al-Anon literature, mm-hmm. which we work from that. We just choose a topic, whatever has been bothering us or affected us during the week. If we're chairing, we choose that. And everybody has a turn. They're given an opportunity mm-hmm. to speak, to express what's been happening in their week. It's an anonymous program, so everybody can openly speak mm-hmm. and know that it's not going to be, nobody's going to be judged or criticized or anything else. Everybody's free to express whatever they're feeling.
Right. Now, this is a classy area, Brighton. So I would assume that everyone comes from outside of Brighton.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, because everyone in Brighton is classy. But that's not true.
There's no discrimination from the billionaires down to, and people are alcoholics and nobody would know it
yeah.
because they can manage to hold down a job, but it always affects the family or some part of their lives, their work or whatever. So, yeah, and look, there's a lot of shame attached to it, as you say.
Yeah.
People are embarrassed, so you try to hide it, think you're doing a good job, but everybody knows what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Now, just stay there for a minute. So, please, if you have some interest, have a look there. If you have further interest, have a talk to Cora. She's along here of a Sunday morning normally, but just have a talk if there's something there, and let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we are aware that there are many things that damage people, damage families, put extra strain on our hospitals, add to the heartache of car accidents, and not all, but a lot of stuff can result from abuse of alcohol. And we realise that there are families who have to live with that, children, wives, husbands. So our prayer is that as people meet here on a Monday night for Al-Anon, that you would minister healing to those people. And we are so glad that as a church we can offer this facility for this ministry to occur. So pray that you would bless Cora and her leadership team and those who attend, that, Father, they might find healing not only through meeting together but through your love to them. For we pray this through Jesus. Amen. Now, that wasn't too bad, Cora, was it? You're still standing. Good. Might I say that we have two Alcoholics Anonymous meetings that meet here as well. We started with one, but the need was so great that we now have two. So what goes on in our community is amazing. Joyce, please. Now, that's what happens Monday night and Tuesday night and Thursday night, but something else happens here on a Thursday, and many of you know about what happens with the craft ladies with Bright and Light. But just to bring you up to date, because this is a group that some of you could come to, it's a group that has a ministry because every week, one of us, Dion, myself, Joyce, Kellyanne, do a bright spot with a spiritual input. So, Joyce, tell us a little bit about Bright and Light, please.
Okay. We have at the moment 9 different classes of varying crafts. Our numbers range at the moment, I suppose, between 60 and 80, a far cry from when we had to put a ceiling on new people coming because we got up to 250 and it wasn't safe. The tables were so close together that we just couldn't cope with that. It wasn't safe. And also with the COVID and things like that, we had to close our creche. So that excluded young mothers with and dads with children, and that hasn't picked up. So they're not all old like me, but they're certainly not the young people that we used to have. It's been going for about 44, 45 years. And I'd just like to say how dedicated our helpers are. In that time, we've only had four coordinators. Joan Lee started the ministry. Joan Dorney took over for a couple of years before Joan Lee took it back again. And then Maxine took the role. And after many years, Kellyanne has stepped in.
Jill was in there, wasn't she? Jill did some?
Not as coordinator.
Oh, yes, she did. Jill did.
Hey?
Jill Wheatley.
Oh,
but that's
I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, Jill was in the middle.
Sorry, Jill.
Right.
So it's more than just a craft morning. It's a real fellowship morning. And we're so glad that we're able to give that think spot. And I just appreciate so much the way that Colin and Dion spend time moving among the people, talking to them, and they know the people very well in many instances. And I appreciate that as well as the time that they give just about a 5-10 minute think spot. And we hope it's something that the people will think about. Many of the people come from other churches, and we're pleased to have their fellowship. But many others don't go to church at all, and this is our opportunity of giving them something to think about from God's Word.
Hmm.
We might tell funny stories, but it's always with an object of getting their attention and linking that story to a gospel truth. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. One of the things that we all need to think about is that each week, yes, we say something, but sometimes there are a few people who sneak out just before the thought spot, and there are other people who just continue to work on or talk, and then there are others who, you just wonder how much they need to hear before something is going to sink in. Now, we don't know the response from people, of course, but that would be the thing that the church could really pray about, that the things that are said would sink in to people's minds and heads, because a lot of them do come, as Joyce has said, for the friendship, for the fun, the enjoyment. I mean, people say, oh, you know, I do two rows of knitting and talk for 2 hours. And that's fine. But we're more than a craft group. We're talking about mission. We're talking about things going into people's heads and minds. Janet, you come along, don't you?
Yes.
Yes, what do you like about Brighton Light? Quick, Janet, then. Quick. I know you like the stage. Right, what do you want to tell us? What do you like?
I like coming to mix up with the other ladies. Especially I see Maxine when she's making the coffee or tea. And I always ask for tea, and they're doing a good job, Maxine and Kellyanne and all the other groups that I like mixing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I like coming to this church and to the lunch and whatever comes out on.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy everything that people do at Brighton Light.
Good. Thanks, Janet. And she, yeah. And she always asks me every Thursday, and what's your wife doing? Yes. Right. Fine. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we pray that the words that are shared week by week from your word, messages of hope and of love and of care, would be messages that are taken in by the people who are listening here, Some of them we feel have blocked out their thoughts. Some maybe think, oh, I know all of that, and yet not interested. But our prayer is that your Spirit, in a very powerful way, would open eyes, ears and hearts. For we pray, Father, that Brighton Light is more than just a craft ministry, but a ministry that shares with people the love of Jesus. And our hope is that they will come to know and love Jesus too. We pray this through his name. Amen. Thanks, Joyce. And now, Maxine, please. So one of the ministries that the church has that some of you might or might not know about is Elwyndor, the home up in Dunrobin Avenue. And some of the folk from here in the past have been residents there. But when there are five Wednesdays in a month, we go and take a service there. So Maxine, tell us a little bit about that, please, will you?
Thank you. When we have the service, of course, Colin is the person who takes the service. Helen plays the piano, and we have Rose. Lindley has just started coming along, myself and Sue Wright when she can make it. We start normally with as we go into the service, Helen is usually playing the piano, and a number of the residents who've obviously been involved in church for a long time will sit there, and even without the folders that we have, they'll be singing quietly, mm-hmm. sometimes not so quietly, as they hear their favourite hymns. And we sing hymns that have been around for a long time. In fact, the other Wednesday, I had a lovely time because some of those hymns I hadn't sung for many years, and the residents love it, don't they? Mm. We have a prayer, a Bible reading, and then Colin will give a message. And normally that message involves items that Colin has brought along to get people's brains moving. If you don't know what a mincer is, ask Colin. I knew what it was. We had one at home where we used to mince up all the meat, and a meat press, and the people get really involved, and it brings back memories for them as well too, and they really become part of that service, don't they? And a short sermon, I suppose you'd call it a sermonette, and more hymns, and a prayer as well too, and people do become quite involved, don't they?
And I think last time we were there, which was just a couple of weeks ago, we must have had at least 20 residents,
at least.
Yeah. And it's interesting that there in churches there's a lot of focus on youth, which is vital, but there are a lot of people in nursing homes who have had some Christian upbringing, and they're sort of, where are they? Perhaps not assured of their salvation, not aware of God as they once were. And so there's a great need there in nursing homes and care centres for old people to be reassured and to be reminded, and for some perhaps who have never heard to be reminded, actually, Jesus loves them very much.
We had the last service we did, a lady is connected to a Baptist church. Her husband is in the facility. And she said, oh, I wish you came every time. Because it was the type of service that she was accustomed to going to in her own church, and felt really comfortable and reassured. And I think most people who come along, some tend to sleep. It's not because of
same as here.
No, it's not because of your sermons, I'm sure, but it's just the condition they're in. And we have the carers who come along and accompany them as well too. And of course Sue McMillan works there, and she's usually there, and thank goodness for that, because she has a beautiful voice.
Yes.
and that really helps with the singing as well too. I must admit, I've come across some people. My old youth group leader was there for a time, and he's now passed away, and it was lovely to reconnect with him. Judy, who came along to church, she is at Alwyndor, although she hasn't been able to come to the services lately. Now, old Bob, I used to deliver meals to him with Meals on Wheels.
That Le Cornu fellow?
Yeah, that was Ross Le Cornu. Old Bob, who I used to deliver meals to with Meals on Wheels, he's an Irishman. And if you know Irishman, he's very talkative. And he loves coming along. He's gotten to the stage now where he's speaking the Gaelic a lot of the time. But the people, we were able to talk to people afterwards while some of them are waiting to go back to their rooms, and others are more mobile and can go by themselves. But we managed to chat to people afterwards as well too. And everyone I speak to loves coming along.
Yes, so please pray for us. When you see five Wednesdays on your calendar or on your phone, just pray for us as we go to Alwyndor, because it's just such a vital ministry, we feel. I think some of them appreciate our approach, as it were, because the Catholic priest goes every so often, the Anglican fellow goes. I think they follow through either the prayer book or whatever, and that's fairly routine, whereas we jump around a bit and have a more informal sort of arrangement. So, yep, that's another ministry of the church here that we're all part of. So please be part of it. You mightn't be there with us, but you can be there in preparing beforehand in prayer. Let's pray for Alwyndor. Father, we pray for not only those folk in Alwyndor, but we pray for all people who might be in nursing homes or in care. And some of those people have been active in church life, they've been familiar with those things of the gospel, but maybe now are just a bit worried about salvation, confronted with, say, death, they're unsure, or even their mind has gone a bit wandry and they're not sure what they think. So, Father, our prayer is that you would bring clarity, that you would bring assurance, that you would bring reminders of your love. But, Father, bring, please, the assurance and the reminder that eternity is for all who believe in Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Thank you. No, we're not having a major sermon today. We've basically had the sermon in bits and pieces, all right? Pardon me, but I do want to draw to your attention something that came this week, and a reminder. On the front of the magazine that the Bible Society put out, there is a photo. And this is a picture of a lady who's 57. And the story of this lady in China says, Gyo lived a life of faith in Jesus for almost 44 years before she held her own Bible. Imagine being a follower of Jesus without a Bible. It was her auntie who had the Bible and led her to the Lord. She became a Christian in her early teens through the faithful witness of her elderly aunt. She told me that it was God who created heaven and earth, and the kingdom of heaven was near, and I needed to repent. With a simple faith, she believed and gave her life to Jesus, but she only ever had her aunt's Bible by which to anchor her faith. Anyhow, throughout her life, through lots of hassles and everything else, she has become a staunch believer and now has her own Bible. Again, if we're talking mission to the world, some of you say, well, I can't go, I can't do anything. Well, we can support the giving out of Bibles. We can give Gideon's or Bible Society. But there's also a little article in here written by a guy called Jacob. Jacob's story is interesting. He said, God loved the real me, not what I thought about myself. Which is interesting. I grew up in an Orthodox Christian household. It meant I always believed that God was there, and I learned to pray from a very young age. But through struggles at home and all the rest of it, he gave that up. At high school, there was a lot of bullying. Didn't want to have anything to do with God. But then I went to work and I met a female colleague, not a romantic interest, but she was a Christian. And I watched her, and this is what I watched for. I watched for the hypocrisy of a double standard, but it never came. She was genuine, calm. I was really taken aback. There was no other side to her. She was filled with grace and was inspirational. If anyone tried to gossip, she just stopped them. She didn't engage in any of that. I found this incredible. I don't know why, but because of her, I started to read my Bible. So, friends, we're talking mission. We're not talking like sometimes I think, oh, we have Mission Month and that's it now. We can put it aside for the year. But isn't that interesting that that guy has become a Christian? Why? Because of just the faithful living of that woman at work. Again, for me and for all of us, just our faithful living wherever we are. So whether we're old, whether we're young, faithful living. But please remember the ministries of the church. We're all included as part of Lighthouse, whether it's overseas with Argus, whether it's supporting something here at the Al-Anon or AA. We see the AA men sometimes. But please, please, friends, let's not forget that we are ministers, men and women who witness to Jesus. How wonderful that is. Now, we've finished singing, haven't we? Yes. And I'm going to pray and then we go out to continue worship for the next week until we meet again. We're out worshipping 24/7, aren't we? Yes, we are. Our Father and our God, how great it is that you love us. Jesus loves me and we know it. Not because someone has made it up, but because your Bible tells us. Oh, Father, how incredible it would have been if we'd have had to cope for 44 years without a Bible. Where would our faith be? And Father, how lovely it is that someone like that woman's auntie and someone like that woman at work were faithful witnesses to Jesus. May we be faithful witnesses to Jesus as people look at us, listen to us, observe us closely, that they might know Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we can be witnesses for the Lord God and we lift him up in our lives and in singing. For he is our Lord and we trust him. Amen. So now may we go in peace and go in hope. Thank you.